Well, we heard a lot of different things so far about our Heavenly Father, and they're all true. But what I wanted to share tonight, and we can always use these, is a reminder. It's a reminder what God thinks about us and what He's given us and truly how rich we are in His grace. So the title is a little long, but still yet, I've titled this sharing, God Has Cast His Vote for You and I. God has cast His vote for you and I. You know, we just recently had some elections going on, and not just for the president, but for other offices. So when we choose a candidate for the president of the United States or other positions in our government, we choose them because of what they say they're going to do and what they say they've done. But still yet, we make the decision based on what we think is right about that person or what we think is wrong about that person. You okay?
Yes.
When a baseball franchise chooses a player, we're talking about millions and millions of dollars that these athletes get. And so what are they looking at? They're looking at a player on their team that is a great batter, for example, a good pitcher, or a talented fielder. Those are key things that the teams look for if they're going to deal out multi-million dollar contracts. Still yet, we choose someone also to be on our discussion team, like in school. And it could be because they are knowledgeable or they make great debaters. I don't know if you guys have ever been on a debate team or something like that, but you got to have your ducks all in a row. I've never been on one, but I've witnessed what they do. So in retrospect, God chose us. God chose you and I. Thank God. Now, there's a side note, and that is chosen ones. It comes from the word elect, and you've seen that in your Bible, which is the Greek word ekklestos, which is spelled E-K-L-E-K-T-O-S. And it simply means that we are the chosen ones. So when you see that word elect, that's what God is saying. He elected you, but He also is choosing you. And because He chooses you, it's a big deal. It should be in your life. Like Bob also mentioned yesterday, you should be really excited. You know, you don't have to wait, oh, He picks me. He has. And all this because, again, He loves us. He loves us. John 3:16, right? And irregardless of our baggage, of what we've done or not done, you can't earn that, you know. But in the five senses realm, you got to earn your standing. And hopefully you get what you want. So when we must continually thank and praise our Father and God for rescuing us and, again, choosing us. Mm-hmm. Choosing us. We're His elected ones. Speaking of voting, God didn't need to find out what party we belong to or your stature in life or how big you are or how many home runs you hit or how much money you made. No. He looked right at our heart. The target was there. And once we confess Romans 10, 9, and 10, and believe that with our hearts, we're in. Our tickets have been stamped. We're in. So we're His elected ones. He's given us a life filled with His blessings, and we've all seen that, and we will see that, and promises. And if you don't remember all the promises, all you have to do is open up the Word. There are promises made by God. He's not a man that He should lie, right? And we don't deserve it, bottom line. That's the part that's like, what, me? We don't deserve it. But God so loved that He gave. And so we are blessed and we belong to Him. Amen?
Amen.
So now, our God, in His never-ending love, had you and I in His plans from the very beginning. We were in God's plans. He wanted a family, but he didn't just want a family. He wanted a family who was going to love him. And all of us in this room and those who have called in said, yes, I love you, Father, and I'm going to keep on loving you. And that's all God wanted. That's all God wanted. So, praise his holy name again. Let's look at a few records here. But what I would ask you to do is go to Ephesians chapter 1, please. Ephesians 1, 3. These are just a few reminders that are about us, God's family. It starts by saying, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with some spiritual blessings. Did I say something wrong? Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places or in the heavenly realms, in who? Christ. Christ is the very reason we are where we are. Verse 4, according as he, God, has chosen us. There you go. We're the elected ones. We're the chosen ones. In him, before the foundation of the world. We've heard that many, many times. But before God started putting all the things together, we were chosen. We were chosen. And then things started to come into fruition. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. None of us would be able to claim that. But God says, you are. You're holy. You're a holy people. And you stand before him in his love. Having predestinated, or God decided in advance, us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. God had a big old hug and said, come here, you belong to me. And just held us tight to himself. According to the good pleasure of whose will?
Yes.
That's right. God's will. That's what God's will was. It wasn't that we had to go through an obstacle course in life. The world will make you. It wasn't that we had to have a certain degree in life. The world wants you to. There's nothing wrong with that. But when it comes to the real, honest to God truth, he chose us irregardless of the baggage we have. This shows that God had a plan for the fall of mankind. Before God created the world, it also means that God chose each person individually. He didn't say, okay, as soon as you get 10 or more together, I'll bring you, I'll choose you. No, each person individually, he chose us. That's how important you are to him. And that was to be saved, to be saved. There is no question mark over us. Let me say that again. There is no question mark over us. We may see that, but we may be the ones who put this question mark over ourselves. Why? You may ask. Why? I'll tell you why. Because of our conscience and the thoughts we allow to be put in it. The thoughts we allow to be put in, and how at times we have wavering minds. We have wavering minds. They go to and fro. But the proof we receive from God is our new birth realities. It costs God a lot. But you know what? We got the new birth realities. And all that, it shows via the evidences in our life. And what are those? How about speaking in tongues? That's one of the evidences, plural, okay? Or the ability just to hear from God. God is talking to us, I'm positive, every day. But we aren't listening every day for whatever reason. So maybe that's something we need to hone and get a little bit sharper or get a better radar or something. That when God talks to us, we're listening. And it's okay to ask him to talk to you, especially when you need him in a situation. God is listening. Okay, and that's also part of the evidence of that Holy Spirit that we all have within us. We cannot let that go. We are to be more zealous, more excited in the confirmation of being called by the Almighty God himself. You know, you could be at home saying, man, I hope so-and-so calls me. That would make my day. But you know what? God's calling you. Does that make your day? Huh? I sure hope so. I sure hope so. God has you in his Rolodex. He has you in his Rolodex. So, we're to be more zealous with that. Almighty God himself, and with those manifestations of the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, and what Jesus Christ made available. As to the opposed to the opposite, wavering minds, like I mentioned a minute ago, we've got to catch ourselves when our minds start to waver and unfortunately cause us to sometimes think less of ourselves, especially when you fail in something in life. I've failed in certain things at work, but I don't let that make me think, you know what, I need to quit this job, I'm not good enough. No, I'm good enough. And if anything, I'm going to spread the word of God, which is perfect. So, yeah, we got to grab our minds when they start to waver like that. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, please. 2 Peter 1, and we're going to start in verse 1. As I go there. The things that we're reading are just reminders of who we are and what we have. Because, again, God elected you and I. He chose us. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Righteousness is simply living the right way according to God's will, according to what he says his children should do. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. God's into math, especially multiplying. He doesn't like subtraction or division, but he loves to multiply. According as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to what? Life and godliness. We have a godly life. He's given us things that matter. You know, if you're a baker and you're working in a bakery and stuff, somebody comes in, hey, I got this crescent wrench. Well, you know, that doesn't pertain to what you're doing. Give me a cooking sheet or a recipe or something. What God gives us, it pertains to life and godliness. He knows what you need, and it doesn't hurt to ask him either. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Wow. Whereby are given unto us exceeding, if we stop there, that's enough, but it doesn't. Great, okay, that's okay. And precious promises, like I mentioned in the onset, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, the godly nature, the right way, the righteousness, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The world can never get enough. They want more and more and more and more. And it's about me, 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 me. But we need to remember that we want to serve one another. You'll be taken care of. God knows you. You'll be taken care of. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith, here we go, virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. Let me stop for a second. This word temperance means it gets you in a place to where you're able to handle different things because things change. In the manufacturing business, when I was doing that, we had metals that we used to build a certain thing, but they had to be tempered because they were going to be exposed to certain conditions that if they weren't tempered, it would fall apart or it would bend or it would fail. So we temper it. Another thing that's tempered is glass. You've got tempered glass, right? Glass is used in different ways. And in some occasions, you have to temper the glass so that, for example, if it breaks, it doesn't shatter in shards. It breaks in little pieces, which is a lot safer. I just thought of this. I remember one night I was taking a shower. And I'm standing there, and all of a sudden, boom, I mean boom, the whole glass shower door just exploded and dropped. I'm standing there butt naked in the shower, and I got a pile of broken glass around my feet. But thank God, the glass was tempered and it broke in little teeny pieces. So what did I do? Sweetheart! What? Bring the dustpan and a broom. She's like, what? So when she came in there, she said, and the vacuum. So I swept up the glass the best I could, got out real careful, make sure there was no glass under my feet, and then vacuumed it up. But that's another thing that you temper. And because of that, I was saved from getting serious injury. But it was still scary, nonetheless. And to patience, godliness. Verse 7. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. We want to be kind to our brothers and sisters. You know, the world does a good job of beating us up. We want to bring them peace and kindness, right? And to brotherly kindness, thank you, Zeus. Charity, the love of God, the love of God. For these, there's a word, if these be in you, and you want to get rid of that if, saying they are. If they be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. If you don't have compassion in your lives and someone needs compassion, you're not going to see it. You're blind. You're probably thinking about you or what are you going to do next and this and that. But we all need compassion. And one of the greatest examples of recent times is Shanti and I receiving your compassion for the loss of our Thor. I still get choked up. I have days at work where I got to run off in the corner somewhere and shed some tears because I've got these reminders. But what helps me get to those moments is your compassion. Is your compassion. And a lot of people say, ah, that's just a dog. No, it wasn't just a dog. I can say this in all honesty, that not only Thor, but other dogs we've had have for the most part, been my witnessing partners. Had I not had them, I would have never went to the park. I would have never met other people or dog owners. Yeah, we talk about our dogs, but it gives me an opportunity to share about my risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's why I call them my witnessing partners. And people know these dogs. There's people around when they say, oh, how's Thor and Zeus? I don't even have them with me. Oh, they're fine. They're fine. They're fine. So, again, the compassion you guys have shown us, it is really well received, and we thank you for that. And it's part of what God wants us to do and who he wants us to be. Where was I? Cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election. There it is, chosen and elected. God didn't have to go to a booth. He just, I choose you, 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 you. And we said, yes, 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 right? Sure, make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. And guess what? He's got a plan for that. If you fall, guess who's picking you up? The love of God. The love of God. And verse 11, for so an entrance shall be ministered. This blew me when I really got into this. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In other words, then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom. A grand entrance. Can you just try and vision? You know, just let me in the door. I'll come into the window if I have to. But he's going to give us a grand entrance. So I thought you'd like that small, those verses right there, that we need to remove our rose-colored five senses glasses and put on our spiritual glasses to see these things that God tells us about. The world has rose-colored glasses and tells you you're seeing something when you're really not, you know. Take those glasses off and put on the spiritual ones. Amen? Now let's go to 2 Corinthians 13:5, please. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Here's one that's caused you to look in the mirror. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Well, interesting word. But reprobate simply means unapproved or unworthy. We were all unworthy at one time, but God has approved us through his wonderful grace. We are no longer reprobates. Say that 10 times. But he's approved us. We have his stamp. You know, that's how much God loves us. Now let's look at a part of the book of Daniel, what Daniel wrote for the hope of all believers in the future generations to see how God prevails and evil will not have the last word. Also, what God will do for you and I, and again, we will take part in this vision Daniel had because God chose us as his saints. That's another word. Oh, I'm not good enough to be a saint. God says you are. Okay, God, you said it. End of story. All right. Not to mention that the world will take notice. And for this, please go to Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. Daniel, I said chapter 7, and we're going to start in verse 13. This is about some things that went on previous to this verse, and you can read the whole chapter. But anyway, we're jumping in this section that says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. Now, this one man is the Son of God. He's seen the vision. And Ancient of Days is God Almighty. Okay? And they brought him near before him. Angels. Let's hear. Come. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. And they probably would have done the same to you and I. Verse 16, I came near unto one of them that stood by me. This was an angel, okay? Came to Daniel and stood by. And Daniel asked this angel the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts are what he had in this dream, which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints, you and I, this is you and I, of the Most High, shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. So, I think that's something that is comforting to know, like we say about Revelations, it's really, we win. We win. And there's a verse that ties into this, verse 18, that Bob covered yesterday, and I covered this in a previous sharing, but I broke down the verse on all the things that it says about us. So for this, please go to 1 Peter 2:9. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Again, we are God's elect. We are his chosen ones. But you are a chosen generation. This is not one particular time. This means all people coming generations. Okay, a royal priesthood. I'm not going to break this verse down now, but I've done this already. 2:9. And if you need to know about some of these things and you want to ask me after fellowship, I'm here. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his what? What kind of light? The only kind of light that God shows us and gives us. And you know what? He says we are also the lights of this world. Mm-hmm. Okay? All that Daniel spoke about how kingdoms who reign then and now and glorify their power and arrogance against the one true God, guess what? Will come to an end. And God's elect, you and I, his saints, will stand in victory. We will stand in victory. Daniel's message should offer a message of hope that should motivate our faithfulness. That should motivate our faithfulness. You can have faith in a lot of things in life, but it doesn't mean it's going to happen. But not with God. Not with God. So in conclusion, God knew that our hearts would believe. God knew that. And we would be part of his family that he called us to. It's not complicated. So, let's live the life of God's elect, showing through our service and praise the love and power of God and what it can do. Amen?
Amen.
Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful reminder of who we are, of who you are, and what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ endured for us to have these promises, for us to have your help, for us to have your ears when we pray to you, Father. I pray that you give us the ears to hear you, to know what to do at any given moment in our lives. And I'm just so thankful that when I look across this room, I see a bunch of saints, a bunch of brothers and sisters in Christ that were all in this together. Father, you are an amazing God. And I just thank you for your help again and reminding us of who we are and what we have, all in Jesus' name. And they all said,
Amen.
Amen and amen.